Jorge Sammartino against the Fairfax County. Mr. Kernbach.
Yes, sir.
And is it Ms. Gibbons or?
Greenswife.
All right, we'll be glad to hear from you when you're ready.
Good afternoon. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
All right, that'll be granted.
This is a case that probably could be summarized in one issue. What's the story with the sick leave and the disability pursuant to 65.2-402C? Mr. Sammartino is a Fairfax County firefighter. He came down with leukemia. The claim is only being pursued under the presumption found under 65.2-402C.
As a practical matter, it looks like he was at best out of work for several days for doctor's appointments. Am I correct?
And so
we're talking de minimis wage loss here, are we not?
Well, the wage loss was covered by the use of sick leave.
I understand.
And I'll explain to you how that works.
But I guess what I want to focus on, are we really talking about medical payments? Is that the real issue in the case?
Right. The lifetime medical care.
Yeah, whether they kick in now or whether they kick in later.
Right. In order for him to get the presumption and the lifetime medical care, he has to win the claim on the paper now. Because you can't come back a second time.
He clearly has the disease.
He has the disease.
The question is whether he's disabled. That's a factual determination, and and there's a standard review we have to follow there.
Under normal circumstances, but you don't have a full commissioner who jettisons his cohorts in the commission.
If we were to conclude that he hasn't established a disability today, and 6 months from now he misses a week of work because he is deathly ill.
Yeah, he comes down with leukemia, Ken.
Why can't he reinstitute his claim for disability at that point?
Well, that under normal circumstances, almost 99% of the practitioners of workers' comp will tell you he can't, because the statute's come and gone. He's had a communication of an occupational disease. But for the Melvin Tomes decision that I have my fingers on, because that was one of my cases.
I'll take it up more.
Right. But in any event, I understand the standard of review, but it's rare that you get one commissioner from the full commission who writes this. This decision amounts to the commission deciding that even though the claimant's physicians in uncontradicted records disabled him from work for specified periods, we will disregard this and reach our own conclusion. And that's under the dissent of Weston Marshall.
Help me understand this, because it seems to me that the briefs kind of overcomplicate this more than needs to be. He's a firefighter. The presumption applies. Nobody's contesting that.
Right.
This disease is work-related. I don't understand the county to be even contesting that.
No.
The only issue is he disabled? In other words, is he able to do his job as a firefighter or not? Now, he has doctor's appointments, but he seems to be able to still function as a firefighter because, in some cases, he leaves the doctor and goes to work and presumably responds to calls for service. And so, in the abstract, seems there is evidence supporting the commission's conclusion, although I might come to a different conclusion if I were a commissioner, but nonetheless, the commission concluded that he was not disabled since apparently he's able to function on his job. And as Judge Petty pointed out, that situation may change. The disease may progress to the point where he's no longer able to do that, and we'd have a different situation. But I'm trying to understand how the commission errs in concluding that while he meets all the criteria for the benefits of the statute, he just isn't at the point in his medical history yet where he's unable to function in the role of a firefighter.
The reason we're in this situation is because the statute of limitations for wage and for indemnity benefits and medical benefits begins with the date of the communication of the occupational disease. And therein lie separate statute of limitations in there for getting reimbursed for sick leave. Now, firefighters have a peculiar shift. They work 24 hours on, 24 hours off, which means you can go to work for the first 12 hours, go to a medical appointment, and be excused from work 12 hours later.
Well, it seems to me that the only question of disability here, I mean, the only issue, is whether going to the doctor, having to take time off, and I understand the sick leave versus losing wages, but basically having to go to the doctor, is that a period of disability?
That is a period of disability under the case law. It's not only just going to the doctor.
Have we actually decided that? I've seen a lot of cases where the commission has awarded benefits for days off going to doctors, but I'm not sure we have specifically said that is a period of disability. And maybe I'm wrong.
It has been. A period of disability can be established by losing time from work, and there are some cases on that, and using sick leave.
Can you help me with the names of those cases? Are they our cases or are they commission cases?
Well, let's see. From Mr. Marshall's dissent, we have, he has the CALO, C-A-L-O case, which was a workers' comp claim. He has the Lipscomb versus City of Lynchburg case touched on it, but it doesn't help. And it's also my case too, where I took a beating on that one also. But
Art was a good friend of mine.
The issue here is he also missed time from work because he was treating for his cancer. Mm-hmm. He wasn't feeling well, and he took off a solid 4 days here. We can solve your problem very easily. If you can find one half day, that the evidence clearly supported disability, and that the full commission was completely out of line in disregarding that, we win an award for lifetime medical care.
Well, and where is that? Point to us.
Okay, I can tell you.
And I tell you this, as you do, I went through each day listed on the in the commission's opinion, and I found the evidence pretty weak. He seemed to be asking his wife for help on some of these days. I didn't find a day in there where he said, this day, absolutely, I went to the doctor for this reason, from him to him.
All right, I'll be honest with you. Mr. San Martino is not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, and it was torturous trying to compare his wage records with his period of disability. But we had physician statements that listed days off from work. We had a period of 4 days where everybody agreed he didn't work. September 15th, 2012 to September 19th, 2012, he testified to a block of 4 days where he was unable to work. And the doctor's reports at Appendix 121 to 124, 125 to 128 all deal with the same block of time that he lost from work. When he originally got sick and wasn't able to go to work and work as a firefighter because he felt he couldn't do the job and he couldn't support his fellow firefighters also while he was dealing with this leukemia. Again, if we can all agree that there's at least 1 day of total or partial incapacity from doing his work as a firefighter, he gets the benefit of the presumption under 402C, and at a minimum gets lifetime medical care for treatment for leukemia. All right? The law does not require wage losses, which the full commission, two commissioners seem to intimate under the Lipscomb case. All you have to do is prove partial or total incapacity from being able to do that work. And there is a lot of overlap between the testimony of the claimant, the medical reports, and the uncontradicted medical evidence from the physicians. If there really was a problem...
How would we help us write the opinion? Tell us what day we would say and what evidence we would point to support your argument.
Okay. I would say, if I was writing this and I was sitting on the bench, I would say that at a minimum, okay, the medical evidence and the parties agree that there were 4 days where the claimant was unable to work as a firefighter. And that was the period from September 15th, 2012 to September 19th, 2012, where he was ill and first diagnosed with leukemia and did not work.
Now, was he scheduled to work those days?
It doesn't make any difference. He was scheduled to work. However, workers' comp benefits are paid 7 days a week, and you can be disabled on your days off. If you're disabled, it doesn't make any difference if you shift work or not.
Counsel, how does your argument to us today square with the standard of review for this court on appeal from a workers' comp decision?
I've also been the victim of that at the Supreme Court. However, in this case, however, because the workers' comp, two commissioners of the workers' comp commission totally disregarded all of the dates of disability that were alleged, both supported by the claimant's testimony, supported by the medical records, and supported by uncontradicted medical evidence that we reach.
Well, let me interrupt you. You're getting into your rebuttal time.
I have
a question, and if necessary, I'll give you a little extra time in rebuttal. But the commission relied on two unpublished decisions of this court to get to where they got. And I guess my question would be, are those decisions right or wrong? I mean, we're not bound by them. If we think they're an error because they were unpublished, but essentially Lipscomb and Lucin, if you read them together, seem to me to stand for the proposition that it's not enough just to not be able to work; there has to be an economic consequence to that.
They're wrong.
I cite you on workers' comp for that proposition.
Yeah, Lucin's correctly decided because they never proved disability from work, and no physician supported the claimant in Lucin that he was actually disabled. Lipscomb, I can tell you, which will haunt me for my life, he was in the hospital for 4 days after having a heart attack, but he was already retired. But my argument to the other panel from the Court of Appeals was, you don't need to have a wage loss. All you need to do is have disability.
You know, we kind of undercut that argument in Testament versus Utility Trailer, where a person on temporary total light duty work was laid off because the plant closed down. And I dissented in the case, but the opinion said that because the loss of wages he suffered were as a result of the plant shutdown and not his injury, he's not entitled to benefits.
Because
and they equated that wage loss with benefits.
I think that case may have turned on the fact whether or not the employer had accommodated the claimant while he was still on restricted duty, and then the plant closed down.
Mm-hmm.
If he was released for full duty without restrictions and the plant shuts down, that's an economic loss and he's tough. He's out of luck. But if the employer takes him back,
That's in a light duty position. They took him in light duty and then laid him off.
And then the plant shut down. The correct decision would have been go out and market, and you can reapply for workers' comp benefits.
The correct decision is what we said it was, because the Supreme Court didn't reverse it. So even though I dissented in the case, that undercuts, it's still, the opinion is out there and we're bound by it.
It is, but this is we're talking about something completely different here. But Lipscomb, it was a case where Art was in the hospital for 4 days after having a heart attack here in Richmond when he was doing his lobbying work. He'd already retired from the city of Lynchburg Fire Department, and he was totally disabled when he was in the hospital. And it wasn't enough for the other panel from the Court of Appeals to get me to where I wanted a medical care for lifetime, for heart disease. Here we are again, same issue, but this time I've got medical evidence to support disability from work.
Except that the commission discounted that medical testimony. They said it wasn't reliable.
I think it's reliable.
I know.
I've won before Deputy Commissioner Stevic at reliability, and I got one commissioner who said it was reliable. We've got stalemate.
What's the final count?
The final count was that it's two here, two there. That's why there's three there.
Except that we have a very strict standard of review.
I understand that. But occasionally a case will come along where you can say, but this case is different. because the full commission jettisoned all of the evidence on disability.
All right, thank you, Mr. Kernbach. All right, Ms. Griesweig.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. I would disagree with Mr. Kernbach on some of the points that he's made. And specifically, I would disagree that the evidence reflected that Mr. Sammartino, the claimant in this case, was disabled for any period of time.
Can I start with the question I started with earlier? If he becomes totally disabled, or probably partially disabled, a month from now, can he come back and apply for medical benefits?
No, Your Honor, because he could apply, but I would raise the defense of statute of limitations. If
it's been, what was it, 2 years since he was communicated?
Yes, Your Honor.
So
is
that
it, I'm sorry?
That's expired?
Yes, Your Honor, it has.
But if the disease hasn't progressed to the point where you're disabled, I'm at a loss to understand how the statute would prevent that, because I don't know if I can find it quickly here, but as I understand the law, it's the Tomes case. Disability from a disease has been defined as a stage when the disease prevents the employee from performing his work efficiently. So in other words, the disability wouldn't be triggered until you reach that point. And at that point, it seems to be you wouldn't necessarily have a statute of limitations problem.
Well, Your Honor, I guess my response to that would be, I guess, that Mr. Kernbach can refile this claim then in the event that a disability comes to...
No, I just wanted to...
Well, is your point that case law would preclude him from coming forward?
Your Honor, frankly,
Is there case law that addresses this?
To be honest with you, I'm not certain. It's not something that I really looked into, because when we were arguing this case before the Deputy Commissioner, it wasn't an issue, and I didn't know that it was going to be an issue here today. It's kind of interesting that I raised with a colleague whether or not somebody could re-raise a disease case. I don't know the answer.
Maybe I'm missing something, but it seems to me that what triggers the application of the workers' comp statute is either it's a disability, the inability to continue to work, resulting from either a workplace injury or an occupational disease.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so the fact that you contract a disease on, day one doesn't, and the disease doesn't progress significantly enough to affect your ability to work until sometime years later, the statute of limitations is not triggered automatically by the contraction of the disease. It's triggered by the point in time when you're unable to work, and whether or not you notify your employer about that. That's my understanding of the law. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That understanding of the law may be correct. I don't think that that's an issue here today.
Your opponent asserts that it is. That's why we raised it.
No, I think I raised it. I apologize.
All right, I'll blame you instead.
Let me ask, have we decided any cases addressing the issue of whether a doctor's visit constitutes a period of disability?
Yes, Your Honor. In the Lucent case, Lucent v. City of Roanoke, that's a 2003 decision. The Court of Appeals held that missing time for work for medical testing and being placed on a precautionary work restrictions pending results does not establish a disability. And I would disagree that the Lipscomb case was incorrectly decided. In that case, the Court of Appeals also found that missing time from work as a precautionary measure constitutes a disability.
But that's as a precautionary measure. What about someone who suffers a knee injury and has to go to the doctor for treatment for his knee injury?
Your Honor, in this case, there was no evidence that he was disabled from work on the dates on which he had medical.
I understand
care.
That, but what I'm trying to focus in, I've seen a lot of cases come through where the commission has awarded benefits for days that an injured employee has had to take off to go to a doctor for treatment.
Yes, Your
Honor. The language in Lipscomb that was preventative or advisory days off or whatever, but just days for treatment.
Yes, Your Honor, and I would respond to that by saying that there's case law, and I don't have it off the top of my head, but that says that the reason that you get indemnity benefits, temporary total disability benefits or total partial disability benefits for medical appointments where you have an award an injury that's been deemed already to be compensable, isn't because of a disability, but it's because the claimant is entitled to free medical treatment. And if the claimant had to miss time from work in order to go to a medical appointment, it wouldn't really be free medical treatment.
So they're all post-award cases?
Correct, Your Honor. And so reviewing what disability means for purposes of 65.2-402C, the case law is clear that that means that you're unable to perform your work efficiently. And in this case, there's no evidence that Mr. Sammartino was ever unable to perform his work efficiently. And if I may address the dates of disability, the September 15th through September 19th dates that Mr. Kernbach raised here today, it's not undisputed by the parties that he was disabled for those periods. The county very much disputes that he was disabled. I'm not sure who raised it, but he wasn't scheduled to work on the 17th, 18th, or 19th. September 16th, he worked for a half a day. Why he didn't work the other half of the day on September 16th, I don't know. He didn't testify about it. He did generally testify that he didn't feel well here or there or whenever.
Counsel, is there case law that says that it doesn't count if you're not scheduled to work?
No, there's not, but my point was that there's no evidence that he didn't work on those days because he was disabled. The only evidence in the record is he didn't work on those dates because he wasn't scheduled to work. Now, of course, there's a disability slip, but the disability slip doesn't say because of disability. It doesn't say because it's a precautionary measure or pending results, or it doesn't explain why. The claimant very easily could have explained in his testimony, I missed September 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th because I was disabled and I'm unable to work. He did not say that. And if you go to, I can tell you on the record where he says that.
Well, that's okay, Counsel.
Okay, in the record, he says that he missed those days because of an ER visit. That's the point at which he turns to his wife and says, "Oh, is that when I had that ER visit, dear? I don't recall." But it's never cleaned up, and so the record is devoid of the reason for which he missed a half a day on the 16th. And so the commission correctly determined that he did not meet his burden of proving that he was ever disabled. And again, the only evidence is that the biopsy record said it went well. The note doesn't say why he took off. The next day, he went into work for 12 regular hours. So the only evidence is that he was not disabled. I don't think that you need to get to the point where you decide is missing half a day of work sufficient to constitute disability. I wasn't able to find any case law on that. I don't think you even need to get there because there's no evidence that he was disabled at all. And again, it was his burden, and any facts and inferences should be viewed in the light most favorable to the county. The commission disregarded the medical records, and I use that term loosely because it's just a checkbox questionnaire that was drafted by the claimant's attorney, and two doctors checked off yes, 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 and signed at the bottom. Well, if you go through that record, you see that most of the days, neither one of these providers treated the claimant. It doesn't say what records they relied on. It doesn't say what their basis is for finding he was disabled. And there's one date on which one of the doctors himself specifically said he's not disabled as a result of the disease on this date. That's the contemporaneous medical record. But then on the checkbox questionnaire, he just says, yep, he was disabled on that date for leukemia. And so because that inconsistent record, I guess for lack of better words, the commission properly disregarded these records, which were based on insufficient factual grounds and that lied with assumption of faulty premises. And they rightly disregarded those records then. And so all we're left with is he missed some time for medical appointments, not because he was disabled, and that's evidenced by the fact that he continuously went back to work as a full-time, full-duty, regular work firefighter on days on which he did not have medical appointments. And for those reasons, I'd ask that you find that he wasn't disabled. Again, as Judge Humphreys pointed out, whether he is disabled is a factual determination, and findings of facts are binding on this court. And so if there's no other questions, I'd ask that you affirm the decision of the commission below.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Greenswald.
Thank you.
Mr. San Martino, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. We beat you up pretty good. Took up a lot of your rebuttal time.
If you look at page 5 of my brief, I list the reasons why he didn't work in that September dates. There was one particular period of 4 days which he missed from work in September 2012, where he identified missing September 15th through September 19th. San Martino stated that he missed work because of the lymph node under his arm, which was irritating him and causing him pain. He had not been sleeping well and did not think it was safe for him to go to work. He was suffering from joint pain, and these were the main reasons that he could recall that he had to miss time from work while awaiting consultations with his physicians. The physician who investigated the lump under the armpit was Dr. Williams, who performed the biopsy. It was Dr. Williams and the cancer specialist, Dr. J. A. Moran, who provided the disability slips taking him out of work. Appendix of pages 20, 22 to 25. That's your disability. All right, the claimant testified to it, the physicians backed it up, and all I need is one day to get the lifetime medical care. You know, leukemia is not a disease that comes back at a different stage or worse, like in Tomes. Tomes was a heart disease claim. There's an older claim, Wallace Robertson, where the grafted heart vessels themselves occlude and you get additional heart disease. Those are all new claims. I file them all the time. But leukemia is leukemia. It's cancer of the blood. It comes and goes. It waxes and wanes. So in a way, I have to agree with my esteemed counsel. I would be out on the statute of limitations, I believe, even under Tomes, because it's not a worsening of the condition. It's just a reoccurrence of the same condition that would be dismissed under this case if I were not able to get a reversal of the ruling from the full commission. Because I can't say that the leukemia that Mr. San Martino would be any different than it was 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. But
looking at those sites that you gave us, Abbott 22, he testified that he testified that he decided not to go to work because his lymph nodes were hurting him, and he needed to get them checked out.
Right.
But I'm not sure he said that I was unable to work because of that.
Okay. There's exhibit number 4 at the hearing of November 21st, where his captain used sick leave, identified it as an issue. That's on cross examination for another day, October 19th. 2012, as a day where the lymph nodes had become swollen in his neck and he was having trouble swallowing and talking. He identified December 10th, 2012 as a date that he was disabled due to his leukemia. On redirect examination, using exhibit number 4, San Martino identified October 9th, 2012 as a day which was used as sick leave, as identified in a chain email which was sent by his captain at that time.
All right,
there's multiple bits of disability that are within the record.
All right, thank you, counsel. We'll come down to Greek counsel and the court will be adjourned.